The federal IT market has always been a lively one for companies willing to take the time and effort to understand it. Adobe has been a federal player for a while. Now it has a new chief technology officer just for its federal business. John Landwehr joins us now. John, good morning.
Hi, Tom.
All right. So why a CTO for the federal market?
Well, we've been, of course, supporting the commercial technologies and industry for almost 30 years now, and I think there are a lot of benefits that we can bring from helping those organizations into the public sector in areas such as certainly mobile, cloud computing, and even some of the things that we've been doing in security.
So let's talk about mobile for a moment. This is something the government has been talking about a lot for the past several years. How would you say their progress is relative to what the private sector is doing in mobile?
Well,
and I guess we should define mobile, too.
Sure. I see mobile really as accessing online services from smartphones and tablets. And as public sector organizations work to efficiently serve those people, it's increasingly important that the online services the government provides are accessible to everyone on the most popular consumer devices. And industry statistics show that I think we're more than half the U.S. population has a smartphone, yet only a fraction of government websites are really mobile-friendly today. Contrast to the commercial world, where pretty much all organizations are adopting a mobile-first philosophy for delivering online news or weather, sports, finance, online shopping, entertainment, social. They don't want to leave everyone out. So I think there's an opportunity for public sector organizations to increase their mobile presence significantly.
Yeah, I guess it's a surprise when you go to, say, a commercial website on a smartphone and they still display the Cat's Breakfast website that they might have on a big screen squeezed down to a little screen. You don't see that much anymore, but you're saying in the government, still about in half the cases, that's what you get.
Yeah, and I recently ran an experiment to personally check out a number of government websites from a smartphone and a tablet. And across the U.S., about 35 states have mobile-friendly websites, and that's not too bad. Then at the federal level, in looking at the executive department websites, only 6 of the 15 were mobile-friendly. And then if you go to, like, the U.S. government independent establishments, for which there are 60, only 20 of those are mobile-friendly today, and that's about 1 in 3.
So what does it take to make your website mobile-friendly? Do you have to recompile the whole thing and start over, or are there tools that can...
Well, the first thing to do would be to check out your own website from a smartphone or tablet and see what it looks like today. Then there are certainly technologies available from web content management systems that make it easy for organizations to simultaneously publish content both for traditional websites on desktops as well as to smartphones and tablets so that you only have to post things once. Whether it's forms or news stories or what have you, and then using responsive design technologies, depending on what type of device accesses the website, the screen automatically reformats. So it might be one column of text on a smartphone, 2 columns on a tablet, and maybe 3 columns on a desktop. The web content management system takes care of all of that so that the person publishing the content doesn't have to go into deep technical details for each device. And a lot of these web content management systems also include emulators so that an organization publishing content doesn't have to go out and buy one of every device. They can actually preview their own site on all the most popular devices to see what it looks like on an iPhone versus a Samsung Android versus an iPad versus a desktop.
Now, what about mobile deployment to the government itself, mobile apps for its own employees that do any one of 10,000 different jobs? How would you say that's coming along?
I think there's progress there, too. Mobile deployments inside the government are important, too, especially from a productivity perspective. And we've been helping organizations, Frank, it's about 5 years now, bringing things like electronic forms and workflow approvals to these devices so that people don't have to rush back to their desk just to approve a travel authorization or an expense report or fill out a form. We're also seeing online collaboration and meetings start to happen from smartphones and tablets so that people can participate from wherever they are and don't have to be necessarily sitting at their office desk all the time just to collaborate with others in their office.
And can you design, can one design a form that's on a smartphone or a tablet such that only the form is really there, and when you put in data that might be something that you don't want to get out, can that data kind of transfer from your fingertips online back to the agency's data center, and so when you turn the device off, only the form is still there, the
yes,
blank.
Exactly. So there are ways, certainly both in a web browser as well as a installed application on a mobile device, to do that data capture. So you're filling out a form that may not necessarily even need to look like the traditional 8.5 by 11 form, but could be more interactive and have multiple screens, perhaps even just a question or two for each screen. And then depending on what you answer for each question, the next screen may be different. Kind of like what TurboTax has been doing for years with tax forms, is now more broadly being used for a variety of electronic forms on the mobile device. And then once that information is sent from the device, it's not stored locally on the device, but sent back to the data center, where it can actually be rendered into the official form, perhaps as a PDF, 8.5 by 11, you know, looks just like the paper form, but had all the data come from a browser or a mobile app on the smartphone or tablet.
We're speaking with John Landwehr. He is the Chief Technology Officer for Federal at Adobe. And let's talk about cloud for a moment, because that seems to go along with mobile quite often. And as long as they've been talking about mobile, federal agencies have been talking about cloud adoption. But it seems to have plateaued for the most part at putting email in the cloud. And now it seems to be mostly talk and a little less action when it comes to moving everything else to the cloud. What's your assessment? What do you see there?
Well, commercial organizations have been embracing the cloud for a number of years, and we're now seeing government appreciate the benefits in more rapidly deploying online services in a cost-efficient manner, with the scalability benefits as well as security built in. And I think we're starting to see the next wave of cloud applications move from things rather than just email being hosted, but actually more complex online services. And a big driver for that is certainly FedRAMP.
Now, FedRAMP, of course, is the certification process by which a company can become known or recognized to be secure. And Adobe, being an online software provider, you are a software as a service company now, has applied for FedRAMP certification. I'm curious as to what that process looks like from the vendor standpoint.
Sure. So FedRAMP definitely makes it easier for government to adopt cloud services by really standardizing and sharing the security assessment process for that cloud service. It applies to not only infrastructure as a service like Amazon Web Service, but also to platform and software as a service, which are solutions Adobe provides. Traditionally, our software ran just on-premise, and while we still support that, we're increasingly providing hosted and managed services for things like electronic forms and web content management collaboration. And with FedRAMP, really the provider of the service needs to provide assurances that security is implemented to the standards that have been set. And that's really all-encompassing of what the cloud service provider includes in their platform or software as a service, which is essentially installing, maintaining, and upgrading the software as part of a FedRAMP-authorized service that, you know, even includes things like the data center itself, the virtual machines, the network, the storage, the power, electricity, and security. And all that then needs to be continuously monitored with 24/7 network operations center, maintaining security compliance within the FedRAMP program on an ongoing basis. And again, all this is designed to help the government have assurances that these cloud services are meeting the security requirements that have been set.
What kind of paperwork does this all take?
Hundreds of pages of paperwork is submitted to the templates that are provided, which really go into great detail on how security has been really deeply integrated into the overall service. This includes things like system boundaries, how quickly issues are addressed, how information and accounts are safeguarded, and more.
And if someone is using a software, say you're an agency and you've signed up for any one of, you know, several, there's probably hundreds of them, software as a service providers, such as Adobe or any of the Salesforce.com offerings, you pay per user, per period of time, as the licensing arrangement. And does each individual user within an agency under that contract have their own virtual machine at the software provider? Do they have their own account? And I guess, so the question is, if so, that must be a particular concern to the FedRAMP process.
It really depends on the type of application going through the process. Certainly there's some differences between providing a platform for which additional software solutions are built versus kind of getting the virtual shrink wrap software that software as a service provides within the cloud. And that's where you get the benefits of term-based licensing so that you can add and remove users to the online subscription very easily as an organization grows or shrinks cyclically. You can then, depending again on the application, have shared data for just your organization virtually managed and accounts that are protecting that. Certainly, again, for things like filling out electronic forms or doing online collaboration. And then the security is well defined, again, for that system boundary on what gets protected and how it's protected so that only the authorized participants or workers can see their own data.
And so you could have the agency data in the agency data center, but say the application in a FedRAMP cloud. So it's possible that the application could be safer than where the data is, which did not have FedRAMP certification.
We are seeing a number of these hybrid cloud deployments, which can really get kind of the best of both worlds by maintaining some of the applications, process, and data on-prem in an agency data center, while also leveraging the cost-effective scalability that the public cloud can bring, and certainly by implementing security appropriately, using strong encryption and that sort of thing, you can store some of that data in these remote clouds and know that only your authorized people can access them because of the key management that's done, tied to your own organization, perhaps with the PIV card badges providing access control.
All right, so looking ahead to 2015, we don't know what the budget will say, what their analytical perspectives will be concentrating on, but what's your prediction of what's going to occupy federal agencies on the technology front in the next 18 months or so?
Well, I think as the cloud certainly matures and more organizations go through the FedRAMP process, and we expect to finish our process this summer, and a number of other organizations are in process and some are complete as well. I think that that's going to continue to be a very hot topic to look at, perhaps a mindset shift instead of, why would we deploy in the cloud, perhaps moving to, why wouldn't we deploy in the cloud as being the first question, and then looking at certainly how FedRAMP can address those security concerns, look at the cost efficiencies and benefits and scalability that go along with it. I think mobile will also continue to be a very important topic, not only to address the needs of federal workers, their productivity, their mobility, but also looking certainly out to the public to make sure that people aren't being left out just because they're on a smartphone or tablet versus a desktop. So really kind of ways to make that overall digital experience be more efficient and out to as many people as possible, I think will continue to be a very hot topic.
All right, John Landwehr is the Chief Technology Officer for Federal at Adobe. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.